From a practical point of view, let's focus back on colorectal cancer. What kind of risk factor history or past medical history or functional cardiovascular history or cerebrovascular history should sort of cause pause for concern or maybe even avoidance of bevacizumab?
The issue of cardiac toxicity with bevacizumab is interesting, and I think there are a couple key points. The first is that the frequency of coronary events is still low, even with bevacizumab. The primary risk for such events in general and on bevacizumab is other risk factors known to predispose to coronary events. These include a prior event, such as a previous episode of a myocardial infarction or unstable angina or an angioplasty, or older age. And we know these are important risk factors. And in fact, if you look at the large pooled analysis, which described the risk for increased arterial vascular events with bevacizumab, there was a significant risk in the control group related, of course, to age and prior predispositions. These risks go up, though, with the addition of bevacizumab. For a patient who has no risk factors, the risk of an arterial vascular event is very low, under 1%. That would be a person under age 70, no prior events, and so forth. For a patient at the other end of the spectrum, where they have one or the other event, the risk goes from roughly 2 to 3% for a general patient on the control arm to about 7 to 8% for patients on the chemo plus bevacizumab arm. For a patient who has both risk factors, that is an older age and also a prior arterial vascular event, then the risk of a vascular complication on treatment goes to about 15 to 18%. Now, that risk is significant, but also needs to be put into context. The first issue is that there probably is a survival benefit for many of these patients, despite the increased risk of a cardiovascular event. Now, that statement needs to be qualified in several ways. The first is we know there's an overall survival benefit from the large IFL plus or minus bevacizumab study we were part of. In addition, we know in an older, frailer group of patients, as reported in the study by Firuz Kabinovar, with 5-FU leucovorin plus or minus bevacizumab in poor performance status patients, there is also an improvement in progression-free survival and a strong trend for improvement in overall survival. If you pool all the analyses, age really does not affect the overall survival benefit. If one then tries to look at the very small subset who have both age and cardiovascular risk, it is very hard to know how to interpret in such a small subgroup whether or not the overall survival benefit is or is not conserved. With all the disclaimers of looking at such a small data set, that is the few patients with both risk factors, there does appear to be a conservation of the overall survival benefit with the addition of bevacizumab, even to these patients who have these additional risk factors. I think in conclusion, what this suggests is that patients who have one or more risk factors for a coronary event or a cerebrovascular event should be managed carefully with respect to the risk benefit. I think there is sufficient data for patients to be managed carefully despite these events in a selected fashion. And again, I would emphasize the need for good selection and management of these patients. However, the data is also small enough with respect to the safety of treating these highest risk groups that for physicians who think it not appropriate, I think standard of care chemotherapy may be appropriate for these patients alone.